Turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. This one is at the beginning of chapter 12 of the book of Leviticus, or Vayikra. And it says, well, as many of them do it, and Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said, quote, "Speak unto the B'nai Israel, and tell them the following. If a woman is Tazria, when she is delivered, and she bears a man-child, then she shall be unclean for 7 days, as in the days of the impurity of her time of the month. That is how she will be unclean. And then on the 8th day, Hashmini, the flesh of that boy's foreskin shall be circumcised." So here, this is the term you've probably heard, the Brit Milah, this idea of the circumcision on the 8th day. And I usually mention this because it's interesting. Science has since discovered that if you look at two different things in young boys and the way that they develop in the first couple weeks of life, you see an interesting thing happens. The pain response literally has a dip. In other words, they're most inured to pain on, guess what, the 8th day. But on the other hand, their immune response peaks. They are most immune from any kind of infection on the 8th day. It's almost like there's a reason for it, huh? "And she shall continue in the blood of purification for 33 days, touching no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled." So there's part one, if she bears a man-child. On the other hand, if she bears a maid-child, a girl, then she shall be unclean for twice as long, for 2 weeks, as in her impurity, and she shall continue in the blood of the purification for 66 days, or 66 days, again, twice as long. And when the day... And this time it says, when the days of her purification are fulfilled, for a son or for a daughter, she is to do the following. She brings a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a chatat, for a sin offering, unto the Kohen at the door of the tent of meeting. And he shall offer it before Yahuwah and make atonement for her. Then she shall be cleansed from the fountain of her blood. This is the Torah for her that bears, whether it is a male or a female. Now, by the way, when we look at the apostolic writings, we'll see that, in fact, they did this for Yeshua. But it is a the verse 8 here that is going to take a priority in the case of Mary and Joseph, because they were not wealthy. It says this, "If her means do not suffice for a lamb, then instead she shall take 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, one for a burnt offering, an olah, the other for a chatat, a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean." De tahara. She'll be clean again. Let's get back in the room here. I think we're finally in the room. All right. Yes, apologies. It took forever. Pal Talk kicked me out and then simply refused to let me in all of this time. I didn't look to see how long it's been. Easily 10 minutes or more. Stupid, bad, evil Pal Talk. But we're finally there. Shout Cheap, on the other hand, I think was on the whole time, at least in those times when I was trying to mess with the microphone. Say what? Okay. From there, we'll go to chapter 13, and this is going to be something. It's a process. It's a concept. It's an infirmity, I guess is a good way to put it, or a plague that has a lot of text here in the Scripture, but we haven't honestly seen it on the planet, as far as we're aware, for hundreds of years, if not longer. So it says this, "And Yahuwah spoke unto Moshe and unto Aaron, he said the following, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising or a scab or a bright spot, and it becomes in the skin of his flesh the plague of..." Now I'm going to change the word here, most of you know this. A lot of times the English says leprosy. That's not a good translation. We don't have anything quite like this. They probably didn't know it back in the time that the King James translators did that anyway, or even before. So it's not leprosy or Hansen's disease. This is something different. But that term still appears a lot. You'll see it in some of the biblical movies, like The Robe, I think, and certainly at least in one element of the Ten Commandments, with Charlton Heston, some of those things. But it's not leprosy. Again, it is called, and we'll use the Hebrew term here, zara'at. That is the terminology for this essentially no longer known plague or disease. So that's what it is. And this person shall be brought unto Aaron the Kohen, or unto one of his sons, the Kohenim. And the priest then shall look upon this plague in the skin of the flesh. And now we're going to see a lot of details. If the hair in this plague is turned white, and the appearance is deeper than the skin of his flesh, in other words, it looks like it's a recession, then it is, in fact, the plague of Zara'at. And the priest shall look on him, and this is always interesting, and pronounce him unclean. So it is the priest that has the responsibility to decide and to speak, saying, it is or it isn't. And when he pronounces it and sees it, he says he is, in fact, tamei, unclean. And if this bright spot is white in the skin of the flesh, and the appearance is not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof is not turned white, then the priest will he'll take a flyer and will wait and see what happens. He shuts him up, the person that has this plague, for 7 days. On the seventh day, he looks in again, and behold, if the plague has stayed in its appearance, hasn't spread in the skin, well, then he's going to shut him up for 7 days more. Then again, he looks on him on that seventh day, and behold, if the plague has dimmed and it has not spread in the skin, then the priest can at this point pronounce him to be tahor, clean. It's a scab, and the man shall wash his clothes, and he is, in fact, tahor. He's clean. But, on the other hand, if the scab has spread abroad in the skin after he's shown himself to the Kohen for his cleansing, then he shows himself to the priest again. This time the priest looks, and if it has spread in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him unclean, tamei, and it is, in fact, zara'at. So, when this plague of zara'at is in a man, he is brought before the Kohen, priest looks, and if there's a white rising, and the hair's turned white, and there's raw flesh that's quickened in the rising, it's an old zara'at in the skin. Priest now pronounces him unclean. He doesn't shut him up because he knows he's unclean. And if this zara'at breaks out abroad in the skin, and the zara'at covers the skin, all of it, of him that has this plague, from his head to his toes, from his top to his bottom, as far as it appears to the priest, in other words, he scopes him out, then the priest shall look, and behold, if the zara'at has covered all of his flesh, he pronounces this person that has this plague, if it's all turned white, he is, and this is kind of ironic, right now, when he's all turned white, he is tahor, he's clean. But if there's raw flesh that appears in him, it ain't so. He is, in fact, tamei, he's unclean. So the priest, the Kohen then looks on the raw flesh, pronounces him tamei, unclean. The raw flesh is unclean. It is zara'at. But when it again is turned white, then he comes to the priest. The priest looks on the man, and behold, if it has turned into white, then he has now been pronounced. He will be pronounced clean. He that has the plague, he is clean. When the flesh has healed in the skin of a boil, and it's done basically, the place where the boil was, there's a white rising or bright spot, reddish white, then that is shown to the Kohen. He looks, behold, if it, the appearance is lower than the skin, the hair's turned white, then he is in fact unclean. The priest pronounces him so. It is the plague of zara'at. It's broken out in the boil. But if the Kohen looks on it and there are no white hairs therein and it's not lower than the skin but dimming, well, we're going to do the delay again. Shut him up for 7 days. And then if it spreads, he will be pronounced unclean. It is, in fact, the plague. And it's a naga is the term here. But if the bright spot stays in place, doesn't spread, it's the scar of the boil. And now the priest will pronounce him tahor, clean. Or when the flesh in the skin is a burning by fire, and there's a quick flash of the burning, it becomes a bright spot, reddish white or white, then the Kohen looks upon it, and behold, if the hair in it is turned white, and the appearance is deeper than the skin, it is zara'at, it has broken out in the burning, and the priest shall pronounce him tamei, unclean. It is, in fact, zara'at. But if he looks on it and there's no white hair, it's not lower than the skin but dimmed, well, once again, going to shut him up for 7 days. Then on the seventh day, the priest looks in on him. If it is spread abroad, he pronounces him unclean. It is, in fact, zara'at. If the bright spot stays in place, doesn't spread, but is dimmed, it's the rising of the burning. And this time the priest can pronounce him tahor, clean, because it's a scar associated with the burning. When a man or a woman has a plague upon their head or upon their beard, then the priest shall look on this plague and check it out. Behold, if it is deeper than the skin, and this time if there's yellow thin hair, then the priest shall pronounce him tameh, unclean. It's a scald, and it's called zara'at of the head or of the beard. Then the Kohen looks on the plague of this skull, and behold, if it's not deeper than the skin, no black hairs in it, the priest shuts him up for 7 days. And the seventh day he looks in, and behold, if the skull hasn't spread, there's no yellow hair, and the appearance of the skull is not deeper than the skin. See, there's a consistent pattern here, right? When this plague of Zara'at happens, this thing tends to kind of recede into the skin, it sounds like. Well, then they shave the fellow. But the skull he shall not shave. Priest shuts him up, the fellow with the skull, for 7 days more. On the seventh day, he looks on the skull, and behold, if it has not spread, and it is not deeper than the skin, then the priest will pronounce that he is tahor. And the priest shall wash his clothes, the fellow shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the skull spreads abroad in the skin after the cleansing, the Kohen again looks in. Behold, if it's spread, he shall not seek for the yellow hair. He doesn't need to see it. In other words, he is unclean. He is tameh. But if the skull stays in its appearance and black hair is grown up therein, well, it's healed. And he is now tahor, clean, and the priest pronounces him so. And it sounds like, by the way, I've emphasized this more in years past, but I need to make the point. It is the priest that pronounces him either clean or unclean. And here he says, you're clean. If a man or a woman has, in the skin of their flesh, bright spots, even white bright spots, this time the Kohen looks, behold, if the bright spots in the skin of the flesh be kind of a dull white, it's called a tetter. It's broken out, but he is okay. He is tahor, clean. If a man's hair falls off his head, he's bald, but he is, in fact, clean. If his hair has fallen off from the front part of his head, he is forehead bald, and he is still clean. But if there's a bald head or a bald forehead, and it's got a reddish-white plague in it, it is zara'at breaking out on his bald head or his bald forehead. This time, the Kohen looks upon him, and behold, if the rising is reddish-white in his bald head or his bald forehead, then the appearance of zara'at in the skin of the flesh, he is, in fact, a leprous man. Well, let's put it in the right term. He is a man that has zara'at. He is unclean. He is tameh. The priest shall surely pronounce him tameh. The plague is on his head. And if this person, now this is where we see, we're going to see this term in the next Torah portion. The metzora, the person who has this, his clothes shall be rent, the hair of his head he allows to go loose, and he is to cover his upper lip and cry as he walks around, tameh, tameh. You see this in some of the old movies, unclean, unclean. But he literally is saying, tameh, tameh. All the days wherein this plague is on him, he is in fact tameh, unclean. He dwells alone, and he needs to be outside the camp. That's where he has to dwell. When this plague of zara'at, it's in a garment, so it's not just people that it can get on. It turns out it can get into clothing and houses. Whether it's a woolen garment or a linen garment, or in the warp or the woof, whether they're of linen or of wool or skin, an animal skin, anything made of skin, if the plague this time is greenish or reddish in the garment or the skin or the warp or the woof or anything of skin, well, it is in fact zara'at, and this is to be shown to the Kohen. The Kohen then looks upon this plague, and he shuts up the thing which has it for 7 days. Then he looks in on the seventh day and sees, has it spread? If it has spread in the warp or the woof or in the skin, whatever service that skin is used for, it is in fact a malignant, and it's a mamarot, zara'at. It is unclean. It's a prickling or a fretting is another way you'll see it rendered into the English. But it's malignant. That's a kind of a almost like a cancer, right? It spreads. And then, this time, the garment is to be burned, or the warp or the woof, whether it's wool or linen, anything of skin. Wherever this plague is, it is a malignant zara'at. It needs to be burnt in the fire. And if the priest looks, and behold, the plague hasn't spread in the garment, or in the woof, or the warp, or anything of skin, then the priest shall command that they wash this thing that has this plague, and he shuts it up for 7 more days. Then, at the end of 7 days, he looks. After that, and it's washed, and behold, if it's not changed in color, the plague hasn't spread. It is unclean. So even if it has not changed in color and it hasn't spread, it's still unclean. Burn it in the fire. It's a fret, whether its barrenness be within or without. So in the case of a garment, we got a slight difference here. It had either better clear up or we need to burn it. And this time the Kohen looks, and behold, if the plague is dimmed after it's been washed, then he is to rend it out of the garment, or out of the skin, or out of the warp of the wool. So he cuts it out, because it's not malignant, it's not spreading. If it's still in the garment or the warp or the woof or anything of skin that it's breaking out, well, now you need to burn it, the thing that has this plague, with the fire. And we're almost done with the Torah portion here. We're going to see that there's more to it next time. But it says, and the garment or the warp or the woof or anything of skin which you wash, if the plague is departed from these things, then you wash them one more time. Wash them a second time, and now they are tahor. They're clean. The Torah portion ends with this final verse in chapter 13, and it says this. This is Zot HaTorah. This is the Torah, the instruction about the plague of Zara'at in a garment of wool or linen or of the warp or the woof or anything made out of skin, to either pronounce it clean, tahor, or to pronounce it unclean, tameh. And with that, again, the Torah portion ends. And like I said, lots of stuff here. It's always, in a way, it's kind of fascinating. I remember as a kid reading this and going, well, this supposedly hadn't been around for a long time. What's the point of it? And we'll talk about that some more as we go through elements related to this. But I do think it is important. And the fact that we don't see it is also important and certainly worth thinking about as well. Okay, with that, we'll pause. Okay, what did people do to bring this upon themselves if it came through skin? And the answer is there is no shortage of, I guess you could say, speculation. It's based on Scripture. And nowhere that I'm aware of does Scripture come right out and say explicitly, this is what causes it. However, there are a lot of things that come pretty close. There are certainly some indications that we can see. The most clear and obvious one is the case of Miriam, Moshe's sister, who sees it and gets it right there in front of him. We know what happened in the context of that story. She was speaking against her brother. So certainly, it's reasonable to perhaps draw the connection. Again, it's not like Scripture says this is why, but it certainly says this is what happens, and you can see the connection. So one of the things, obviously, that you will understand, and I do tend to think this is a pretty good connection. It's about as close to a proof as you can get without Scripture saying it explicitly, that one of the ways in which this Zara'at did happen when it happened had to do with Lashon Hara, the evil tongue. Things that we speak with our mouth. That, of course, is consistent with the story of Miriam as well.